The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365Copilot.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, February 6th. I'm Belle Lin for The Wall Street Journal. AI is everywhere, it seems. It's even at the Winter Olympics, which kick off today in Milan. We look at how the technology is helping an Olympic snowboarder improve her signature move as she competes for gold. Then, what happens when AI assistants start talking to each other? What was formerly the stuff of sci-fi is now a reality. We'll discuss how Moltbook, a viral social network just for AI bots, got started and what it means for the future of human and AI interaction. But first, an AI model developed by Google DeepMind is giving athletes like the Olympic snowboarder Maddie Mastro new insights into how their bodies move. WSJ reporter Isabel Bousquet is here to explain how AI is helping Mastro perfect her trademark jump trick and whether we might see this tool expand beyond the Olympics. So, Isabel, what exactly did AI teach Mastro about how she could improve her jump trick?
One of the most compelling things was that when she was landing the crippler, which is a really signature trick for her, she's known for it, the AI pointed out that her arm was slightly raised above her head, and it shouldn't be that way because snowboarding is partially judged on style and aesthetics, and having your arms sort of level and controlled is an important part of the judging. So the AI pointed that out. She had never noticed it before, even from reviewing footage of herself. Her coaches had never noticed it before. And yet seeing it in this form where the AI was specifically pointing out every single angle was helpful for understanding that.
To me, that begs the question of how AI knows that Mastro could potentially get better in such specific ways.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting how they captured the data on this. I would have thought the snowboarders would have been kitted out with a ton of wearables and biometrics, but actually it involves none of that, and it's just analyzing straight video footage. So it can be any video footage, historical video footage, whatever. And it's using this new type of AI model. It was developed by researchers at Google DeepMind. And the idea of this model is that it's purpose-built for understanding the human pose and the way it tracks through 3D space over time. So the purpose-built element of that is helpful because a lot of AI models we have today, ChatGPT, et cetera, they struggle a lot with understanding the physical world and having spatial awareness.
So I also wonder, what is Google getting out of this? Why is the tech giant getting involved in helping athletes like Mastro improve their skills?
There's so much potential in sports for better analytics and better data and sort of using that to just fuel performance. The U.S. Ski and Snowboard team, they're really interested in expanding this tool beyond just this Olympics and using it as a way to maybe get better analytics while you're watching it on the screen. So it's an experience more akin to watching an NFL game where, you know, the player who has the ball is circled on the screen and their movements are sort of mapped out with these lines and there's so much overlay on the screen. You don't really get that for other sports. You definitely don't get it for snowboarding. The fan experience is one area where there's a lot of potential for growth. And then also democratizing training, getting more people into the sport. Like I said, all you need is just straight video footage to use this. And then, yeah, for Google, I think they're just interested in pushing into a lot of different industries and a lot of different applications of AI and looking at what they can do here.
Are there any downsides to becoming too reliant on AI for improving tricks?
Over-reliance on AI is never a good thing. The role of the human coaches is still really important. But the idea is that the AI does have a role to play. It's maybe not the entire role. And then what Maddie Master was telling me is that snowboarding is very much about feeling. This is actually another interesting thing that she said about the tool, was that it helped her communicate with her coaches better, because snowboarding is so much about feeling and there's so much jargon and it doesn't always mean the same thing to different people. So sometimes her coaches would be like, oh, work on your line. And she would do something, but it was not what they meant at all. But having the tool mapping things out in a visual way just created this common language between them. And that was really helpful. So I think that's a good example of where it's working with the coaches.
That was WSJ reporter Isabel Bousquet. What do you make of AI in sports? If you're a listener on Spotify, leave us a comment with your thoughts. Coming up, AI assistants are talking to other AI assistants online, and things are getting weird fast. We dive into the origin of Moltbook, the AI-only social network, after the break.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with a commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
A lone, semi-retired Austrian coder named Peter Steinberger is the mastermind behind Moltbot, the incredibly viral tech project that enables people to create their own AI assistants. And now, those bots are congregating on a website just for them. More than 1.6 million AI agents have joined Moltbook, in an equally viral Reddit-style forum where AI assistants are talking to each other. Here to break it all down for us is WSJ tech reporter Angel Au Young. So Angel, where exactly did Moltbook, the AI agent social network, come from?
Moltbook was created just last week by a developer, a tech founder in his own right, and he created it for his own AI assistant. He also created Moltbook so that other AI assistants around the world can join it.
And switching over to Moltbot, why did Steinberger create the bot, which is now known as OpenClaw?
So before starting what is now known as OpenClaw, he spent over a decade bootstrapping and building a tech startup. He sold that in 2021 for over $100 million. And he told me that he didn't really touch a computer for a couple of years. Then he comes back online last spring, starts playing around with these new AI coding tools. And, you know, he called these tools crack cocaine for builders like him. And he said that he was essentially waiting for one of the big AI labs to create an AI assistant. But that moment never came. And so he just decided to build and hack one himself. And so he worked on this for a couple of months and he launched ClaudeBot and uploaded it into GitHub as an open source project.
It's open source, which in other words means that it's freely distributed for anyone to create and modify. Why is that significant to its virality and its popularity?
One big reason is that it's free and it attracts a certain type of user that gets really excited about these types of projects. And because it is so customizable, it's birthed hundreds of thousands of different bots that have adopted the personalities of their human owners, which has sort of made this whole arena really interesting and exciting to watch.
At the same time, there are also a number of cybersecurity concerns around OpenClaw. Can you tell us a bit more about what those are?
So for this type of an AI assistant to work, you need to give it a lot of access to your systems. The way that the interface works is that you are able to communicate with the assistant through whatever messaging app you use, whether it's iMessages or Telegram or Signal. And you're communicating with this bot, telling it to do real tasks. In order for the bot to do those real tasks, they need access to other apps in your computer. And right now, security is not quite built into the project yet. And Peter Steinberger, he very much admits this. And in fact, in one of the security documents that he wrote for the project, he essentially wrote in bold, there is no perfectly secure setup. You just have to give the bot a lot of access. And if you don't know how to control the bot or isolate it, it can become easily hackable.
So let's say that I put my OpenClaw assistant to work. I give it all of the permissions and access. What are some of the ways that it's been shown to work?
I think my favorite example, it came from somebody who describes this experience on X. He said that he asked his assistant to make a reservation at a restaurant for him. So this agent went on OpenTable, it went on Resy, it went on all of the typical restaurant reservation apps, and it was unable to lock down reservation. What this agent then did was it went to 11 Labs, which is an AI voice startup, and connected with their free AI voice product to give itself a human voice. Then it went ahead and called the restaurant and asked the restaurant, are there any openings? And he was able to lock down the restaurant reservation. And that is just so interesting to think through, right? They are relentless with getting the job done, with getting the tasks done in a way that humans can be, except that these bots don't get tired.
If we were to take a big step back and look at the impact of Moltbook, how would you characterize it?
There's so many ways you can look at what's happened in the last week. With Moltbook, it's caught the attention of people who aren't followers of AI, who don't live in Silicon Valley. It's going to be really interesting to see how the AI labs respond to the virality of this moment. I think about like over a decade ago when Amazon launched Alexa and Apple launched Siri. That was supposed to be the virtual assistant of our times. I don't feel like that really panned out, but OpenClaw, that feels like a true, real AI assistant for the first time. And I'm really excited to see how the AI labs will respond to this.
That was WSJ tech reporter Angel Au Young. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. If you're a listener on Spotify, be sure to leave us a comment. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. Jessica Fenton and Michael Lavelle wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Katie Ferguson. Jessica Fenton is our technical manager. Our development producer is Aisha El Muslim. Chris Sinsley is the deputy editor. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. Logging off, I'm your host, Belle Lin. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.